You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Monday, November 7th, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined in a few by the King, Scott Engel. Here now with the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. And, of course, Tony Sincotta as well. Four of us will take you to 10 a.m. Eastern Time to the Fantasy Best Friends Forever. What is going on, Corey? Good morning, my friend.
Yo, yo, yo. What's good, Greg? I tell you what. Satisfied with yesterday's performance, I got to admit, 100% in fantasy football. For the first time ever,
yes,
I put up a 205 in a PPR.
Oh, my God. Over two.
Over 200. I scored over 200 points in the PPR. 14 seasons of playing this hobby.
Yes.
First time ever, a 205 in a point per reception.
Who did you have?
I had Matt Ryan.
Okay.
I had Mike Evans.
Did you have Melvin Gordon?
I did not have Melvin Gordon.
Okay.
I had Tim Hightower.
Huh.
I had the San Diego Chargers defense.
Okay.
I had Josh Lambeau. I had Golden Tate. Willie Snead. That was 6.6 from Willie Snead.
Yeah, that got you over the hump with us. I believe
Jack Doyle was a part of that team. Nothing spectacular, but still was able to put up 205 points.
Very impressive.
An epic performance.
So, a good Sunday for you.
I enjoyed
besides
it.
Besides Derrick Henry, which didn't even never went well.
That didn't work out. That was that team didn't score 205. The Derrick Henry team also had Allen Hurns on it. That team took 2-0.
Tony Sincotta, good morning, my friend.
How are we doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Yesterday was an epic day. Yesterday was a crazy day. Those 4 o'clock games was amazing. That San Diego, Tennessee game, and then that Green Bay, Indianapolis game. I was started the show at 7 o'clock last night, and I was in 350th place in a tournament. And during the tournament, during the show, right, I look at the standings. I'm like, wow, what the hell happened in these games? I'm now 20th. So all that fourth quarter scoring was amazing in those games yesterday. And a lot of people that probably gave up in their fantasy circles, there was a lot of fourth quarter garbage scoring yesterday. You had Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown. You had the San Diego game that was there. Aaron Rodgers was the king of garbage yesterday. A lot of that all counts in fantasy circles.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm one of those people. Unfortunately, I made a poor lineup decision myself, taking out Dontrell Inman at the last moment when Jerick McKinnon was active. He's ready to go. He's changing the offense. And he was awful yesterday. And those 8 points are probably going to cost me a victory tonight. I need a big game from Doug Baldwin, which has not happened this season. But
yes,
we'll see. Hey, it's the first time for everything, right?
He normally gets hot later on in the season.
Agreed.
And he plays very well at home.
I don't need that big. I mean, I just need like 100 yards of touchdown. It's like crazy. Is it?
Russell Wilson is injured.
I know. All right. Come on.
Built to
looking for a little optimism.
But yeah, I feel you.
Thank you. And Tony's totally right. You know, so often these afternoon games just turn into duds and you're falling asleep on the couch. Mm-hmm. And you're filling up with chips and you're just like, you know what? I'm going to doze off a little bit. And that usually happens during the 4 o'clock games, especially you get into halftime. It's like 6:30. You're like, ugh. I'm going to take a little nap before the 8 o'clock game, get a little dinner, but you doze off. Yesterday wasn't like that. I mean, there's that small little, a small little pitfall early in the 4 o'clock games. But, man, those second halves were awesome. And I do want to start with San Diego and Tennessee yesterday, guys, because there was just so much scoring in this game, and it was fantastic. But we need to start with the man that I asked you about just a moment ago, Corey, and that was Melvin Gordon. Because Melvin Gordon, people have said, you have to trade this guy high, you have to do this. And it took most fantasy analysts, myself included, that a little while to just get on board. But as you know, Corey, I'm sitting here last week saying, stomping my feet and banging my hands, that it's it. I believe in this guy. I don't need to see any more. I believe in him. He is a top five running back. That's it. I don't care what the yards per carry say. I don't care about this, that. He scores touchdown and he's successful. Yesterday was the most successful day of his career. He has 196 yards rushing, over 260 total yards. He had a touchdown like he always does. Melvin Gordon, Corey Parson, top five RB in fantasy football.
Yes. The talk of the sell high.
It's over.
It's over. Go ahead and roster the kid. Keep him in your roster. You play him every week. This is this season's breakout player. All the talk of Tyler Lockett and Dante Moncrief back in the days in August of being this season's breakout player. It is definitely Melvin Gordon, without a shadow of a doubt. The offense runs through him. You see 32 carries yesterday to go along with the 4 receptions. Melvin Gordon is locked in. He's going to be on a lot of championship teams.
It's unbelievable. And I have a friend that in an auction wound up taking Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown. He took them both. And it's like, I'm going to figure out my team from there. Wound up drafting for like $15, Melvin Gordon and DeMarco Murray. And, well,
he's got a squad.
He's got one heck of a squad. He actually traded both Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham away, but that's him. Tony, Melvin Gordon obviously has surpassed all expectations. And what do you say to the fantasy community that just like, this guy really sucks, he had a touchdown there, but he actually isn't a good football player? He has gotten better as this season has gone on. And I understand Tennessee is not the Denver Broncos here or Seattle, but Melvin Gordon looks good now.
I'm not, to tell you the truth, I'm not familiar with those people that would say that. Because here's the problem, is that no matter how good of a player you are, when you're touching the ball 30 times a game,
sure,
you have to be fantasy worthy. So it was always there. Like, I thought yesterday he was a very easy play,
yep,
in daily fantasy, because you had wide receivers banged up in San Diego. You had a situation where he was only averaging 3 yards per carry,
yep,
but he was still getting in the end zone every week because of opportunity. And a lot of times when you have opportunities, they come. Jay Ajayi, right?
Sure.
Same situation there. He didn't even get put on a plane for the first week of the season. They didn't even let him get on the plane to go to a game. He didn't dress because of they thought he wasn't perceived. He gets an opportunity. He gets the ball 20 times in a game. And these guys are all great athletes, great players. So Melvin Gordon was going to take care of himself in that offense. They even brought in pass-catching running backs when Danny Woodhead got out. Melvin Gordon kept that role. He has the Danny Woodhead role and his own role. I don't know how he couldn't succeed.
Yeah, it's a great point. And that's what the other side of fantasy owners saying, listen, he has every carry in this backfield. He, no matter if he's averaging 3 yards per carry, he's not losing his job in any way. And
yesterday he averaged 6 yards per carry.
So, and that's the difference.
So there you go right there.
And that's the difference. Yesterday he averaged 6 yards per carry. And it's very, very clear that it's not just opportunity now. He's a good football player.
He's the workhorse running back. He is the whole show for the San Diego Chargers, the team that is going to be in these type of games,
yep,
consistently,
yep,
because of their lack of defense. You saw Tennessee was able to slice and dice them yesterday. Marcus Mariota, who is also playing very well. But Melvin Gordon is he's the real deal, Tone. He's legit, and listen, NFL is a week-to-week league. A week ago, 2 weeks ago, you may have heard me say sell high. Now I'm telling you, hang on and get ready for a wild ride.
A wild ride. I love wild rides. We're down. This football season go by too quick.
It does.
You got to put on a saddle and you're going to need a seatbelt because it goes by way too quick. I can't believe that we're coming up on week 10.
Crazy. And we mentioned San Diego yesterday, of course, Melvin Gordon. And as Tony said, all these wide receiver injuries and next number cluster. And both Travis Benjamin and Tyrell Williams wind up playing, which is why I didn't play Dontrell Inman yesterday, actually, mm-hmm, Corey. And they both wound up playing. Travis Benjamin didn't last the whole game. I mean, he was obviously limited in the first half. Only had 1 catch for 5 yards, and that was it. Didn't play in the second half. Tyrell Williams, though, he looked healthy. 6 receptions, 65 yards, a touchdown, 7 targets. How good in real life, Corey, is Tyrell Williams?
He's an excellent athlete.
Yeah.
He's very good route. He's very good at running his routes, explosion in and out of the routes. He can catch. He's a possession type man. He can get you deep down the football field. He has all the tools to be a fantasy number 3 wide receiver.
Okay.
Number 1 on this team until we ever see a healthy Keenan Allen. But
yeah,
Tyrell Williams, one of the early season guys that popped off the waiver wire. Took him a little while to get going. But as long as we can continue to see guys like Benjamin as long as one of these guys are nicked up. Not mention the fact Hunter Henry not in the offense yesterday. So when situation dictates it due to injuries, Tyrell Williams, I would say, is the best wide receiver play on the San Diego Chargers. It took us 10 weeks to get there, but now we see Tyrell Williams is and Inman did a good job, too.
I don't know if it's taken us 10 weeks to get there, because I think Williams has been trending up. I mean, he's a red zone threat that we didn't even realize. I mean, I know Florio's talked about this before, is Mike lying, but Tyrell Williams, I thought, with Antonio Gates, led this team in red zone targets. That's how good Tyrell Williams has been. And Tony, I mentioned Antonio Gates.
I don't get carried away. I mean, Tyrell Williams is the only guy that played every game at wide receiver.
But I don't need to get, but like, as we just said with Melvin Gordon, the opportunity is there because he's playing every day, every game, which means he's getting targeted. That's, there's something there.
There's something there. This kid, you know, I give him a lot of credit because I don't know what kind of offense they're running at Western Oregon. And so him to come in his second year of the league and put it together in the San Diego offense and having Phillip Rivers yell at him every time would be amazing. But if Keenan Allen wasn't there and Travis Benjamin was there, I wonder how much we would have got of Terrell Williams.
And I agree with that.
He's absolutely capitalized on that situation there. And going forward, to me, he's the most consistent wide receiver. If I was able to take one of these guys, he would be the guy.
Yeah, I totally agree. And as I was just saying, Antonio Gates, he just keeps chugging along. Hunter Henry missed this game. Antonio Gates, 5 receptions, 75 yards, had a touchdown. He was targeted 9 times, and he is slower, Tony, than the Antonio Gates of old, but he's still scoring touchdowns at the same rate.
And he still cheats and pushes off every time.
Yeah, for sure.
It's amazing. He gets a lot of respect from the referees. He was an easy play yesterday in DFS. For some reason, he was $3,000 on DraftKings. You knew with the injuries to the wide receivers, he's going to be a focal point of that offense. And he got open on big plays yesterday and put up some big numbers. He'll continue in that role if the other tight end doesn't suit up. So you got to watch and see how that plays. There are a lot of good tight end matchups yesterday. I mean, Jason Witten, of course, went off. There was a lot of good tight end play yesterday.
One of them did not pan out. We'll get to that a little bit later on. On the other side of things, gentlemen, the Tennessee Titans. Marcus Mariota put up a fantastic fantasy day. 313 yards passing, 3 touchdowns through the air, 1 touchdown on the ground. He didn't run all that much, but his one run, his one scramble, was for a touchdown. So Mariota, for a fantasy day, Tony, was fantastic. But from a real-life perspective, it was 2 back-breaking interceptions. When you see Marcus Mariota, do you see this guy that really is a week-in, week-out fantasy starter? Or do you see a second-year player that is obviously up and down? Or do you see both?
I don't like him as a fantasy quarterback. Yesterday he had 43 throws, which he doesn't usually have.
Right.
And because it's a DeMarco Murray team, DeMarco only had 14 carries for 51 yards yesterday. So that absolutely is something there. And I hate waiting on guys to run the ball. What you count on for Marcus Mariota is you need to get those 50, 60 yards rushing for him to be fantasy worthy week. And I don't want to rely on that. I want a guy that's going to go back in the pocket, throw the ball 40 times a game. And there's enough of those in the NFL that I don't have to worry about Marcus Mariota.
I'm comfortable with him. He started the season terribly. Mm-hmm. I'll be 100% honest with you. He started the season terribly, but as the matchups dictated more towards his favor, I think we started to see some more, some better games out of Marcus Mariota. Is he a guy that I think is a starter week in and week out in a 12-team league? No, I do not. But in recent weeks, he has been putting up touchdowns. He hasn't been putting up touchdowns. You look at the 4 touchdowns against Miami, 3 against Cleveland, 2 against Indianapolis, 2 against Jacksonville, and then you had the 4 yesterday. So he has been trending up after a slow start to the season.
You know, I own Marcus Mariota in a league, and I've actually started him week in and week out over Eli Manning. And he isn't running as much as I would like him to as a fantasy owner, and Tony's right. He's not going to throw 43 times every single game. It's not going to happen. But he's hot right now, man.
Yeah, he's rolling.
He's rolling, and I understand yesterday he had some major interceptions that hurt the Titans, but
I'm not a Titan fan.
I'm not a Titan fan. Exactly.
There you go.
So it's true. To answer my own question, he looks like a sophomore quarterback, but he's talented. And I think the end of the half yesterday, the first half, I mean, he just slowly went down the field. He made some very, very smart throws, some good decisions, put balls in tight spaces. I was impressed with Marcus Mariota at times yesterday outside of backbreaking interceptions.
As Bill Parcells would say, you are what you are, and he's the 12th best quarterback in points per game right now. So he's right on that fringe of being a guy that can start each and every week.
And I think that's – you're absolutely right. I think that's exactly – if I had to guess, that's where I probably would have even thought he was. So that makes sense, Tony. Right on that fringe of starting week in and week out, number 12 overall in points per game thus far. Remember, Marcus Mariota and the Titans have a bye in week 13. Now – Marcus Mariota, who he threw to for most of the day, that was Rishard Matthews, who you have mentioned here, Corey. 6 for 63, 2 touchdowns, 10 targets. Is Rishard Matthews someone that has to be owned right now?
Oh yeah, he should, and he was a part of that 205 yesterday too. I forgot to mention that. He has to be owned. He's a play in the 12-team PPR. He definitely is a play. Are you starting him every week? Likely not. This has to be consistent. He was in my lineup yesterday due to buys.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So if bye weeks and injuries weren't not a thing, this that 24, 25 points he gave me would have been on my bench. So this play is going to be inconsistent. What you do like to see yesterday, the game script dictated to it, a passing game, and when the game script dictated to passing, he got 10 targets. Also interesting to see the return of Tajay Sharp finally. But back to Matthews, 10 targets yesterday. 6 receptions, 63 yards, 2 touchdowns. He is a guy that they do target in the red zone. So Rashad Matthews, definitely a guy that should not be on the waiver wire in a 12-team PPR. Are you starting him each and every week? Temper your expectations.
Tony, I was in on Rashad Matthews before the year started because I thought, listen, the Titans gave him all this money. He's going to be the number one guy here in an offense that seemingly should be improving. Now, I didn't know what to expect from the Titans offense in general, but I thought that Rashad Matthews would be the number one guy. And then after week one, it was Tajay Sharp. And then week two, it was Andre Johnson. And all of a sudden, it was Kendall Wright. And all these guys were sort of a mishmash in a way. Andre Johnson retires, which brings Tajay Sharp back into the fold a little bit, who had 458 yesterday. But Rashad Matthews...
Delanie Walker in that mix, too.
Absolutely. Delanie Walker is a tight end. No question about that. But Rashad Matthews is someone that... he's a safety. He's a safety valve in a way for Marcus Mariota in that he trusts him seemingly inherently. And while Kendall Wright is not getting the snaps, he did have more yards than Matthews in only 2 receptions. Kendall Wright's not getting the snaps. Rashad Matthews simply is. What do you see Rashad Matthews as going forward?
I thought he was the top play yesterday on the Tennessee wide receivers. And San Diego's a defense that you could pick on the secondary since Verrett's been injured.
Right.
They're absolutely terrible. So I thought it was a good play, even from a daily fantasy perspective. I didn't use him because you can't use everybody. But he was a guy with 6 for 63. I think it was a good matchup for him yesterday. But if I'm going to look for a dependable receiver going forward, I think he's the guy. You're right. Follow the money is where you go a lot of times, and you try to put that together. And I thought Delanie Walker and Kyle Rudolph were the top two tight ends if there was no salary involved yesterday's matchups. And, of course, Witten was the guy that went off yesterday. But these two guys actually put together good games with touchdowns. I get a little scared off on Walker because of the groin injury coming into that game, but he delivered there. I just think it was a good match for Tennessee.
Okay.
And I wouldn't fall in love with these guys. This San Diego secondary is terrible. Them and the Lions, I think you can target going forward.
Yeah, I think it's definitely someone you want to target. Speaking of the Lions, it's kind of where I wanted to head to next because, Tony, you mentioned all these tight end plays yesterday, and perhaps along with Antonio Gates, the most obvious tight end play yesterday was Kyle Rudolph. And Kyle Rudolph scored a touchdown, which was good. 1 yard touchdown, okay, fantastic, got on the board. But that was it for Kyle Rudolph. What the hell happened there, Tony?
I don't know. I actually thought he had a second touchdown because they
me too.
Off to a tight end.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Kyle Rudolph. You know, this team is going the wrong way. We had the coach quit, of course, during the week, the offensive coordinator, North Turner. And they are looking for offense. You got to like Laquon Treadwell had his first catch of the year. Congratulations
to
Laquon Treadwell. Absolutely delivering. They spread the ball out. Sam Bradford was getting rocked by the defense, and it was amazing to me how much pressure they put on him because Detroit is terrible defensively. So this Minnesota offensive line is a real problem, and it's going to be a problem going forward, both in the passing game and running. Minnesota offense is something you want to avoid going forward by all stretches of imagination, even Kyle Rudolph.
You know, Corey, I look at this team, and Stephon Diggs was fantastic yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. He had, 13 catches or something like that?
13 for 80 on 14 targets.
13 for 80 yesterday, and he was incredibly involved. But as Tony was just mentioning, that offensive line is brutal. I mean, it is brutal right now. And North Turner was the tight end guy, right? Like he always loved his tight ends back to those days in Dallas. If you are a Kyle Rudolph owner right now, or you are a Jerick McKinnon or Matt Asiata, or even Ronnie Hillman, who was extremely involved yesterday, owner right now, how do you trust them going forward?
Oh, you can't really trust them. These guys have become matchup dependent, and obviously Minnesota's a team that takes the air out the football, so the offense and the scoring is not ever going to be heavy for the Minnesota Vikings offense. So, like you said, going through the bye weeks, plug and play guys. I think Ronnie Hillman is definitely one of the guys you add on the waiver wire this week. Can you trust? Now you got a three-headed monster at running back there with Hillman, Asiata, and McKinnon. With Hillman and McKinnon both getting 7 carries, Asiata getting 9. And when you look at the receivers, if it's not Diggs or Patterson, I really don't think you can play any of those guys. Kyle Rudolph continues to be in the mix. Most tight ends are not consistent when it comes to fantasy, except for the guys at the top. So when you're putting these dudes in your lineup, you have to temper your expectations. But I would definitely say that you, and unfortunately, that you have to add Ronnie Hillman this week because running backs and this time of year, he's going
to
be in the mix.
I just can't. See, to me, I just can't do it. Tony, I'll throw it to you in a second because I can't do it because it's a brutal offensive line. Now it's a three-man committee.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the touchdown guy. For all we know, he may get benched and Jerry McKinnon may get all his numbers next week. I can't add Ronnie Hillman.
I'm not putting big money, but go ahead, Tone.
I would say no in most cases, okay. But let's be honest here. Week 11, there's a ton of buys again. There's injuries galore. Anybody with a pulse will get rostered at running back this week. I suggested to people that you play both New Orleans running backs.
Yep, you had. So did you
Alfred Morris was a guy that was certainly playable yesterday mm-hmm. because you thought that game could end up just like it was. So if we're playing guys that are backups, Hillman comes into play at some point. So he's worth a buck. And you throw him on the bench and you see what happens because you're going to get to a situation in week 11 where you're just not going to have enough running backs to play in a 12-team league.
Sticking with this game here between Minnesota and Detroit, fun game back and forth. Matt Prater sent this game to overtime and a very long field goal. And Detroit scores a touchdown with Golden Tate to win it. Golden Tate yesterday, Corey, 11 receptions for 79 yards and a touchdown, just continues his dominance. Eric Ebron was fantastic as well, 7 for 92. Since he has returned, he's been great. Where's Marvin Jones?
This is a week to week league. Beginning of the season, about a month ago, Marvin Jones was the number two wide receiver in all of fantasy. He was sitting up there second to Julio Jones.
Yep.
Marvin Jones is now an afterthought on this team. A healthy Golden Tate. You see the chemistry and the rapport with Ryan Stafford starting to build up again. In the last 4 weeks, Golden Tate, I think, is wide receiver 5 in PPR. I have to check on that to be sure. But he's definitely up there. He's definitely up there at the top. And I hope that Golden Tate will continue to get it. But I'm very surprised and impressed with the player, Eric Ebron. Listen, injuries are always going to be a problem for him. 8 targets yesterday, converted on 7 of them, 92 yards. He's a guy that's looked at that Matthew Stafford looks for. You see him on the field. He's the all-airport team. He looks like a good player. He's playing excellent football right now. So, listen, these tight ends are inconsistent, but I think Eric Ebron is one of the ones that trends more consistently. And as far as the running game goes, this is Theo Riddick's gig. We saw Dwayne
Washington.
Yeah, Tony? I watched Dwayne Washington play yesterday.
Yep.
I talk about a guy that could be more overhyped in my life.
Yep.
This guy can't play. he was apprehensive running the ball yesterday. He was running standing straight up. Like, the difference between him and Theo Riddick is huge.
Yep.
It's like California to the, Idaho. I mean, it's that crazy, the difference between these two running backs. So all the people that are hanging on Dwayne Washington, maybe he'll get better in the future. You don't want to give up on a guy too early. But this guy can't play.
Yeah, this is the reason he was benched for Zach Zenner, right? Now we know why. Seriously, because as Tony kind of just pointed out, Dwayne Washington was this ghost that, like, he's going to be good. And I get it. Minnesota's defense is pretty tough. But Dwayne Washington looked horrible yesterday.
He carried the ball 10 times. They gave him the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely.
They gave him an opportunity. Yeah. 10 times, 26 yards. That's 2.6 yards per carry.
Very even. You can do that math.
I'd be honest with you. Well, would it be a specific reason why I couldn't not list that? But listen, I got him on a ton of leagues, and I paid a lot of money in fab
for
him. And I hate to do it, but I think I'm sending his ass to the waiver wire this week.
But it's funny. You're talking about picking up Ronnie Hillman, but you're going to send Dwayne Washington to the waiver wire?
And Ronnie Hillman get 10 carries, and he can do a better job than this.
There's three guys there, and you know Dwayne Washington is theoretically the red zone guy, no?
I ain't sure about that either. I think that when you look at getting 2.6 yards carry, will they run the ball in from the one? Matthew Stafford's a guy that likes to chug it.
Yeah.
With the emergence of Eric Ebron, I can see them targeting guys through the passing game there. And Theo Riddick, you know, it's amazing. We see little guys getting goal line carries, like Theo Riddick and Darren Sproles. I don't know what the hell happened in the NFL.
I know, right?
Right? Riddick had 70 yards. Of course, 42 of them came on one run. Let me throw it to you, Tony. What do you make of Marvin Jones going forward? I know they have a bye this week. Is that something maybe they address? Like, hey, we probably need to get this guy back in the mix?
You know, I actually talked about this, is that, you know, when we get guys that come over and they were backups, I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals didn't win any Super Bowls, right?
No.
Marvin Jones was a guy that couldn't crack the starting lineup. So because he came into training camp where they were wearing shorts and T-shirts, did we fall in love with this guy a little too early and to write off Golden Tate, who put up some big numbers? A lot of guys have the physical talent, But to translate it week in, week out in the NFL is something Marvin Jones never had to do. And so were our expectations out of whack on this player?
You see, you know what it was, and this is something that we talked about on the morning show yesterday and something that I retweeted Benny Riccardi on. The reporting in the NFL, the beat reporters, the news makers, the information guys, has been terrible this year. All preseason, Golden Tate looks horrible. Golden Tate looks terrible. Marvin Jones developing this rapport and his chemistry with Matthew Stafford. Marvin Jones, by far, this is going to be this team's number one wide receiver.
Yes.
When the season starts, yes, we did see it. But like Tony said, is right. When did Marvin Jones become Jerry Rice? Marvin Jones, he was brought in the offseason when they lost Calvin Johnson. Marvin Jones is not going to replace Calvin Johnson.
Right.
Marvin Jones, serviceable. But, yeah, this is still Golden Tate's gig. He came out and got that nice start early when Golden Tate was injured. Golden Tate injured, started playing better, took the bench in. Now Golden Tate's on a hot streak. He's getting the job done. Order has been restored. As far as Marvin Jones goes, Marvin Jones is Marvin Jones.
So I'm going to go a little separately than you guys. And I think, remember, Golden Tate, it wasn't just a couple weeks. I mean, it was almost a month that Golden Tate did nothing.
Uh-huh.
And Jim Bob Cooter and Matt Stafford said, listen, we're going to make sure we get Golden Tate the ball. And they made a concerted effort to get him the ball, get him going. And it's obviously worked out. They said 5-4. They won a few games now. I think during this bye week, you're going to hear from Jim Bob Cooter, you hear Matt Stafford, we're going to get Marvin Jones back involved, and I think they're going to. So I'm not totally out here
with
Marvin Jones.
Is the talent there?
I think it is. I think it is.
I don't even know if he's the second best receiver on this team, to be honest with you.
You think Anquan Boldin is?
He's a veteran. He plays out of the slot. And you talk about goal line situations. He's a guy that somehow they look to in the red zone to make some big plays. So I mean, this team is 5-4. I don't know if they're going to change anything. I don't think any of us had the expectations of the Detroit Lions being involved in a playoff run.
No, you're absolutely right, especially as well as the Vikings were playing early. You had Green Bay kind of on the outside. You had Green Bay stalking it, and now they're kind of on the outside looking in. We'll talk about Green Bay and Indy when we come back. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Returning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, it's Greg Sussman, Tony Cincotta, Corey Parsons, Scott Engel, and a few for the Roto Experts in the Morning. Just a couple of notes that we've missed on the games we've talked about thus far. We'll do them quickly. Corey, start with you. Cordarrelle Patterson yesterday had a good day in Minnesota, and it's clear they're trying to get him in the ball. Patterson, 6 receptions for 45 yards. He was targeted second most on the team behind Stephon Diggs with 8 targets. Anything to see here?
Yeah, playmaking ability off the charts. Really starting to finally see him come to fruition this season as an NFL wide receiver. Should be owned in all 12 team leagues.
Owned in all 12 team leagues.
Yep.
Okay, Corey. In the other game, DeMarco Murray had 14 carries, 51 yards and a touchdown. Also had 5 receptions for 42 yards and a touchdown. I'm sorry, that was Delanie Walker. He had 7 receptions for 29 yards. There we go. In the passing game, DeMarco Murray played almost every snap with Derrick Henry hurting his calf in pregame warmups. He's going to have an MRI today to see what's up. Derrick Henry did not play. What do you make of this Tennessee backfield? Is this injury going to cost Derrick Henry long term?
Well, I guess we are. I'm sorry.
Oops, sorry.
Go ahead, Tony.
No, you're the Derrick Henry expert, so I want to.
You want to hear me put this one together?
You know, Derrick Henry actually is not far from where I didn't realize this. There's two things that Derrick Henry grew up not a city over from where I live, and I didn't realize that Javi Baez of the Chicago Cubs actually went to high school in Jacksonville. And I was surprised by that. Like, had no idea. Like, the World Series is over, and I'm like, just found out that Javi Baez was there. Totally irrelevant information.
Thank you.
It's information.
Guess we got to wait on the results of these MRIs.
Guess so.
Hopefully he's not banged up too bad. If he's not, I'm not going to put him in a lineup next week like I did this week. I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach to see what his injury situation is. Unfortunate, you know, I hate to say this, but the wrong Tennessee running back got injured.
To be honest, I thought using him this week wasn't going to work out because DeMarco Murray's won't get off the field. Like, it's crazy. He injured his foot in the game prior. They were up 27-0, and he wouldn't come off the field. He went out one series. He came back in the field. And I'm like, this guy absolutely has control of the coaching staff. He can do whatever he wants. He's a veteran. It happens on teams. He's not going to come off the field. So I thought as long as he was healthy, the other guy was never going to get an opportunity.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Like you said, they're up 27-0 here. Just tell he still doesn't come out of the game. But Derrick Henry did look good when given opportunities. But
he looked great. Uh-huh. Yeah, and so, he has. But yeah. he may have to wait, and then we got to see what the result of this. I mean, anytime you get a situation on the field and you can't participate in the game, like, you know, in warm-ups and stuff like that, it's definitely a situation to monitor.
It's
bad. Exactly.
Absolutely. All right, going to Green Bay now. A very big upset.
Was that announced?
What?
That Derrick Henry would be out.
I think he was active for the. I don't think he was inactive for the game. I think it was one of those.
Right.
I think it was like after after they put their inactives
in. Okay, because I know I had dozed off and I was like,
you took a nap.
Yeah, I took the executive nap. I took the executive nap and I'm like, why the hell is Derrick Henry at zero?
What time was his executive nap at?
Huh?
What time was
you know how you know the 1 o'clock games was normally, you know, beers and drinking and watching the Cowboys and stuff like that.
I don't disagree that
and
you
then,
should have
and
nap.
Then you come in the house and you have your meal and you sit down.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, it's the right time for the nap. I agree. I just thought you were a little early with the nap, maybe.
I got it. Yeah, yesterday I might have dozed. I might have fell around three, four. Oh,
so before the end of the first games, you napped?
Yeah. The Cowboys were wrapped up. I mean, I was heavy boozy yesterday. Yeah, I was with Nando, so you know how that goes.
You're a boozy.
The owl screwed him up there.
You're right.
Yeah, I know.
That's what it was. Hey, Indy versus Green Bay. Green Bay gets upset at home by an Indianapolis team that I've hated for most of this season. Shocked to see them go in the Lambeau and win this one. And this is an interesting one. Speaking of inactives and actives, Corey, he took a nap. And Randall Cobb, he's all of a sudden active yesterday. And then, so after the first half, I'm watching this guy. I'm like, all right, well, he's clearly active in case of emergency. You know, God forbid one of these wide receivers go down in Green Bay, like Ty Montgomery or Devontae Adams. They have Randall Cobb in case of emergency. All of a sudden, you're down 14 points at halftime, and there's Randall Cobb playing most of the second half here. He comes in, immediately gets the ball out of the backfield, and immediately fumbles it. Then later on comes in, scores a touchdown. I can't imagine people started Randall Cobb yesterday, but you have to feel good about his chances going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you do got to feel good about his chances going forward. Team back against their wall. They're going to be playing helter-skelter games. The offense is not the same. Good to see Jordy Nelson get 13 targets yesterday, though. As far as Randall Cobb goes, though, I feel as if he's going to be an inconsistent matchup play going forward. I think this Devontae Adams is the show in this passing game, but it's good to see the Jordy Nelson owners. I'm glad they got to see the little reemergence of Jordy yesterday with 7 for 94 and a touch on 13 targets.
Well, Tony, let's take it right there because a lot of fantasy owners until that late touchdown by Devontae Adams, they were not happy. I mean, look at these numbers. He was 4 for 41 yesterday, but he had a 40-yard reception, which means he had three receptions for 1 yard for most of this game. I mean, he was demoralizing fantasy owners yesterday after having, what, two games with 25 receptions total coming into this one. Yeah, Jordy Nelson, he caught that ball in the end zone, a nice jump ball, which he took away. He had a good game. He looked good for most of the game, 7 for 94 and a touchdown yesterday. But Devontae Adams was not impressive yesterday at all to me, Tony.
I think I don't discount him at all.
Okay.
I think that yesterday, if you look at him, he had two catches for minus 1 yards, right? So basically, that's an indictment on the team. I mean, it's nothing on Devontae Adams. It's an indictment on Jordy Nelson that they was getting respect from the Indianapolis defense, that they were covering him man-to-man. They had another guy on him at times of the game. And Jordy Nelson had one-on-one coverage. It's amazing how far he's fallen down. And it was good to see him healthy enough to get open and make some plays, 7 to 94 yards. He wasn't even – Aaron Rodgers threw a couple – Aaron Rodgers is the problem in this
offense. You
think so? He threw a couple balls yesterday to guys that weren't open, and maybe he just has to throw it. And a lot of guys you've seen going back to the guy that was there before him, Brett Favre, throwing it into coverage. But it just looks like this offense is terrible. Richard Rodgers was amazing yesterday. Yep. He is a guy that with a tight end position that's more like a receiver. You saw him get opportunities at the goal line before, but now he's a focal point because they don't have any there. And Randall Cobb is a guy that I would not have played yesterday at all. I knew the information there. I had him in a DFS lineup, and I took him out. I didn't think that was going to be a situation where he was going to play. I was surprised that he was participating in the game, but he didn't play like two or three plays in the first half. Then when he got the touchdown, I was like, what the hell happened
here? Absolutely.
And they saw something throughout the course of the week that said that Richard Rodgers was a guy they wanted to get involved 10 targets yesterday. six receptions, inconsistent tight end play. I don't know if you see that going forward. But Jordy's just not getting separation.
He's not getting separation. However, he did have the touchdown. He had 94 yards. He should have had another 50-yard touchdown, and Rodgers missed him, right? I mean, he's streaking down the left side, across the middle, and if Rodgers puts it on him, he legitimately has another 50-yard touchdown.
A year ago, 2 years ago, Jordy catches that pass, though.
I think
it's a regression in Jordy Nelson's athletic ability.
Maybe it is, but he was open. It wasn't like he wasn't open.
That's true,
though.
He was open.
He was
wide open,
and maybe Rodgers just let him like he would have 2 years ago, and he would have gotten there, and I'm not saying that's not true. But Rodgers has to adjust. I agree with Tony that a lot of this is on Aaron Rodgers.
I was awake for that play.
You were awake? I wasn't sure. I really thought it was possible. You were sleeping. Ty Montgomery led the backfield in rushing, 53 yards out of the backfield, 38 yards receiving. Tony, let me ask you this. I know you've been talking about he's a wide receiver. Did he play any snaps at wide receiver yesterday?
No. All of them in the backfield. In fact, I talked about it during the week that he actually was at the running back meeting all week. He never went to the wide receiver meetings. So he's made the transition, and he says he's more comfortable as a running back. To be honest with you, I thought Don Jackson looked good when he had an opportunity to play. He only had 4 carries for 16 yards. And I don't know, James Starks is the guy that should be back first, so it's going to be interesting to see how far they let this thing go and what Ty Montgomery's role is. He's going to have some sort of role, but I don't know, 7 carries for him. We had 4 carries for Don Jackson. They don't run the ball anymore. This is a tough go to put Ty Montgomery in there comfortably every week.
I think he's more comfortable at running back because he's getting the ball. He's a wide receiver. He wasn't getting the ball at all.
Did he stay on the field?
Yeah.
He's a flex playing a 12-team PPO.
He's a weekly flex player. I'm very comfortable starting him in my flex in 12-team PPR. On the other side of things, with the Indianapolis Colts, you know, Corey, people hate old man Frank Gore, but he just keeps on doing his thing, man.
He gets it
19
done.
For 60. He had 2 touchdowns yesterday. He gets it done, like you were saying. He's a guy that last year I drafted him, I was a little disappointed. By the end of the season, I think he finishes a top 12 running back. And this year, when it's all about just staying healthy, he has stayed healthy and he's produced.
He's getting the job done. Like you said, stayed healthy, he's producing. Listen, it's just he gets the football in the red zone.
And he gets football everywhere.
I think it's the red zone work that we like the most. It was still 19 carries for 60 yards, a little over 3 yards a pop. But I like the fact that he gets the football in the red zone. They use him in the passing game not as much as they have in the past. You got it. This guy's a starter. You got to continue to play him. And the thing about him is he's one of these guys that he is. You can't predict touchdowns, but we talked about it on the show yesterday morning. And one of the questions Nando asked was, will Frank Gore score a touchdown? And we all unanimously say yes, because that's kind of what his game is right now.
Absolutely.
Especially with that offense.
For sure. And speaking of that offense, the wide receiver core I thought was interesting yesterday, because T.Y. Hilton comes in banged up, finishes with 6 for 82, including the long 27-yarder to seal the game in the fourth quarter. Jack Doyle, same thing. 5 for 61, he had a 20-yarder to seal the game in that fourth quarter. Hilton and Doyle led the way, and even with Dwayne Allen back, I think it was you, Corey, that said, listen, Jack Doyle's still going to have a role in his offense. I still trust Jack Doyle, and for good reason. He played the majority of the snaps. Dwayne Allen did get a couple red zone looks, but it was Jack Doyle's offense. Dante Moncrief, he had the touchdown, and he had 3 for 55. I think this Indianapolis wide receiving core, Corey Parson, is figuring itself out. I think we know finally what to expect for the Indianapolis Colts pass catchers, and we know who to expect it from.
T.Y. Hilton is the go-to guy.
Yep.
He's going to, for the majority, lead this team in targets. Jack Doyle is the tight end to play on this team, one of the top waiver wire pickups for the 2016 season.
Yep.
He's the guy that's going to continue to be in the mix. Dante Moncrief, you like his work in the red zone.
Yeah, and there it is.
Everybody else,
that's it.
Philip Dorsett.
Dwayne Allen.
Cut him.
Yeah.
Dwayne Allen, well, you, tight ends, you never know, but I would cut him, you know what I mean?
Whatever. I think so. I think, to me, just surprised here at the result of this game.
What do you guys think of Andrew Luck's game yesterday? Threw the football 36 times, 23 of them complete. Seven yards, as an average of 7 yards. 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. I'm a humongous Andrew Luck supporter. But I'm like, is it the offensive line? Is it him? He doesn't really look. I don't want to say he's regressing. I thought he was all. There you go, Tony. Go ahead.
He threw 2 interceptions to Haha Dix that I thought he was the intended receiver. And I think he's shell-shocked. I think that offensive line, like yesterday, he wasn't getting harassed on those 2 interceptions. But I think he's just so used to getting hit on every play that it's really affected his play. And I think he's making a lot of poor decisions out there. And he was comfortable only with T.Y. Hilton for a long stretch of the imagination. And then they bring in Jack Doyle, a tight end, and they found another guy. They get Dante Moncrief yesterday. I thought he was a great play yesterday, but he didn't look his way there. I didn't really think that this guy's got hit so much that he's waiting for the next guy to hit him.
I think we may see a situation where there's shakeup at the top in Indianapolis. In the
about time Ryan Grigson gets fired. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hey, he needs to get fired. There's a lot of GMs need to get fired, including Trent Baalke.
I'm talking about head coach, too.
They just gave both these guys extensions for 4 years. Pagano needs to get fired. Grigson needs to get fired. They both need to go. Yep. And they should have went last year because you do it a year early rather than a year late. And yes, last year was a year late.
You got to get somebody in there. Andrew Luck is the prize of that franchise. You got to get somebody in there to work with him.
You can't do it.
Maybe one of these quarterback gurus or something like that.
Whatever.
Get him in there with Andrew Luck. And give him the football and let him take the reins on this team.
Tony, do you think this is a spot that David Shaw will leave Stanford for to go work with Andrew Luck?
Oh, you know what? The whole question, yeah, he would, but I hope they don't do that. I mean, how many successful college coaches do we see come into the pros and do well?
It happens, obviously, but not always.
Where's McDaniels at?
Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator in New England still.
Yeah, all right.
That would be a good spot. That would be a great spot for him.
There you go.
There you go. All right, when we come back, let's talk about another GM that needs to be fired. That's Trent Baalke. We'll do it next here on the Road to Experts in the Morning. Back here on the Road to Experts in the Morning, Greg Sussman, Scott Angle, Corey Parson, and Tony Sincotta here with you. And there is a lot of general managers here that probably should see the door. And I think none should be seeing the door quicker than Trent Baalke in San Francisco. The Niners are 1-7. I know they won their first game, but I don't know if they've won a game since Jim Harbaugh got forced out for Trent Baalke. And I get it. Kaepernick threw for almost 400 yards yesterday against a bad Saints defense. Two touchdowns, an interception, ran for 23 yards. But Tony, simply put, this team doesn't have enough talent on the team. Chip Kelly sucks as a head coach. How is Trent Baalke still employed in San Francisco?
Oh, I have no idea. Like, this is one of those things where Matt Millen was the GM in Detroit.
Right,
Because he went to dinner with the owner, like, every night, and that was a great move on his part.
Sure.
Been employed for a long time. So I don't know if that's going on here, but you're right. This team is terrible from a talent perspective.
Yeah.
So to be fair to Chip Kelly, whatever you think of him, he doesn't have enough weapons with this team to even do anything. I can't believe he took this job because he should have known how it was going to end up. But if you could say he needed a job, he took it. What the heck? This is a bad situation. Them and the Cleveland Browns, though, thank God for the Cleveland Browns. It's going to take the spotlight off them.
Yeah, it's true. The Cleveland Browns remain winless. San Francisco does have that one win on opening night. But you're right. I think Chip Kelly took this job because he needed a job. And probably should have just took the best college job available. I mean, would it surprise you to see Chip Kelly go to LSU next year? No. Like, that would not be surprising the least to me.
Is Chip Kelly an SEC guy?
Why not?
I don't know if he's an LSU guy.
That's possible. Like, you can go somewhere and just make them great again, pardon the term. I just look at this, and it's just a straight-up disaster in San Francisco. Now, Dajuan Harris put up 59 yards rushing. Dajuan Harris actually looked good when he had the ball in his hands yesterday.
Exactly.
83 yards in the receiving game. Had a touchdown. He looked good yesterday.
Now, when you go to the waiver wire or tomorrow night or Wednesday night and think about adding Dajuan Harris,
he's probably owned now. I have to imagine the Carlos Hyde owner owns him.
Yeah, and a lot of people, if he's out there, temper your expectations because they don't play the New Orleans Saints every week. This is a bad 49er team. This is a bad Saints defense, an epically bad Saints defense. And the 49, Colin Kaepernick threw for 398 yards.
Insane.
Somebody should be fired.
New Orleans.
In New Orleans, yes.
Because
Colin Kaepernick stinks.
It's awful. He's absolutely awful. He had his way with New Orleans in the first half. I mean, he just did whatever he wanted to. And you look at the you know what's funny? You look at the receiving corps, 398 he threw, led by Quentin Patton.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You can't even take nothing from this box score.
And
you watch the game, and I was catching some of it on the red zone as I was in and out of sleep. Look, the targets are all spread around. It's mismatch. It's a marsh. Torrey Smith, of course, being the guy that gets left out for the most part, when I thought was probably the best play, Jeremy Curley. Listen, Quentin Patton leads the way. You can't make this stuff up. It is nothing to see here. Watch, monitor Carlos Hyde, see what the deal is with DeJuan Harris, and keep it moving. Get as far away from this team as possible, unless they play the Saints.
I'm not taking anything from the San Francisco side of things. Tony, are you taking anything from the New Orleans side of things? Mm-hmm. You should look at the rushing numbers mm-hmm. here. Everyone's talking about Mark Ingram. He has his comeback game. Says the big middle finger to Sean Payton. He had to eat less carries than Timmy Hightower yesterday. 15, 158, and a touchdown for him. Also caught a touchdown from Drew Brees. Hightower was not left in the cold by any means. 23 carries, 87 yards, a touchdown. For those that started, as both of you guys recommended, for those that started both Tim Hightower and Mark Ingram yesterday, you were rewarded in a major, major way. So as Corey said, he's taking nothing out of this box score in general. What do you take from the New Orleans side, Tony, out of the box score, particularly in the running game between Mark Ingram and Tim Hightower?
Yeah, yesterday I thought because the San Francisco, again, this is a situation where we just said don't take anything from it because of the New Orleans defense. Same thing with the San Francisco defense. I thought you could play both guys yesterday because they were letting up almost 200 yards per game on the ground, and now they're over the 200 yards.
Facing David Johnson next week.
Yeah, so this is a situation here. But what Sean Payton said after the game is he went back and reviewed the teams that were successful in New Orleans, and the one thing that they did is they ran the ball more than they had been running the ball. So there was an emphasis on the running game yesterday. I think that's going to continue, and I think both these guys are going to be fantasy relevant. And the one thing that you look at it, Mark Ingram was part of the passing game yesterday. People forget last year, he got 51 balls in 12 contests last year. So he's a guy that's more than just a guy that's going to take the ball tackle to tackle there. And what a performance by Mike Thomas. You know, it was funny. We had a poll this morning on the NFC Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
The Offensive Rookie of the Year. Would it be Dak Prescott? Or would it be Ezekiel Elliott? Well, there's one Saint guy there that probably deserves to be in the talk, in the conversation, in Michael Thomas.
Yeah, Michael Thomas is just, he has ascended to the number one wide receiving role in New Orleans. That's past Brandon Cooks as well, in my opinion. 5 receptions for 73 yards. He has 2 touchdowns. He's looked to all over the field, and Drew Brees has quickly become comfortable with Mike Thomas. And well, Brandon Cooks may be that speed guy, and doing fine in his own right. And I happen to like Willie Snead, who only wound up with 3 for 36 yesterday.
Well, 7 targets though.
Say, well, that's
sorry.
7 targets. I like Willie Snead. I'm in on Willie Snead. Okay. Michael Thomas is the number one guy in New Orleans.
Yeah, and I agree. Now, let me ask you guys this question right here, as a Willie Snead owner in a couple leagues.
Yeah.
Is he startable every week?
Every week?
No.
No.
Hold on.
Let me go here, Tony. Is he startable even next week? They're home, but they're against Denver.
You saw Denver not look good. Depends on the Aqib Talib is a big part of that defense. If he comes back there, I think they won't be able to. They're going to try to run the ball against that. And as long as they can keep it close, and Simeon is not a guy that's going to look there, that's a great option, actually. It would have to be. It would depend on what you had, what your other option was. I would say it's 50-50.
Kobe Fleener also had 6 targets yesterday. He finishes with 3 for 42 total. And again, just like both Tony and Corey said here, I can't take anything away from this box score on either side of the football. I just can't do it.
Well, you can take away that Tim Hightower was going to be in the mix.
And you can take away that Mark Ingram's not done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah. Both of them are startable.
For now.
Yeah.
We'll see against Denver. You're starting both of them against Denver?
Well, New Orleans at home.
They're home.
New Orleans at home.
So you're starting both of them against the Broncos.
I think you can start both of them against Denver.
All right.
844.
Sorry, Tony, yeah.
Their one weak spot is against the run. If teams can stay in the game and run it and kill the clock in that contest, they can stay in the game against this Denver Broncos defense. Denver's let up a couple of big performances, and yesterday, of course, we saw it from Latavius Murray.
We'll get to Denver in just a moment, but 844-843-6879, 844-FNTSY. Let's go to Mike in Chicago. Mike, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Mike?
What's up, man?
So I've got Matt Stafford on a bye this week, and in a league that does not have a flex position, I was wondering, do I try to pick up a guy like Dalton or Cutler or Bortles or Flacco, or do I try to trade a one of my top-end tight ends, Olsen or Eifert, or Matt Ryan?
Oh, because it's Monday, right? Right, okay.
I am against trading to get a top-end quarterback for a one-week filler-type situation. Looking at taking an early look.
I mean, I play him going forward.
Who's your regular quarterback?
Stafford.
Yeah, what's wrong with Stafford?
Inconsistent sometimes.
I think you're good with Stafford in a 12-team league. As a weekly starter. But just looking at taking an early look at Week 10, Trevor Siemian is in New Orleans. We just saw Colin Kaepernick tear the same Saints team up. I don't think Jared Goff gets on the field next week. I think I'm looking at it early. Trevor Siemian is interesting this week. Marcus Mariota could be possibly on your waiver wire. I'm not sure. So Trevor Siemian is the only guy that jumps out off the page at me right now as a possible streamer for next week.
I don't think either of those guys are available. I think the top ones are like Bortles, Flacco, Cutler, and Dalton.
Play big Bortles. It's not going to be pretty, but play him before I make a trade. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, there you go.
Thanks a lot, guys.
There you go. And we're talking about Trevor Siemian, and we're talking about Denver. And last night, Denver in Oakland, in a big spot for the Raiders. This is their biggest game in a long time. Sunday night football, all the lights, all the pageantry, and Oakland got it done. And Derek Carr, and we talked all week long here about Derek Carr, Corey, and saying, do you start him or do you not start him? Do you start Derek Carr or Colin Kaepernick? Probably should have started Colin Kaepernick when it was all said and done. 400 yards passing, touchdown for Cap. Derek Carr, the game manager last night, but managed the game well. 184 yards passing, no touchdowns, no interceptions. This is the Latavius Murray show. Welcome back, Latavius Murray. 20 carries, 114 yards, 3 touchdowns. We have said all year long, gentlemen, that the way to beat the Broncos seemingly is up the middle. That is how you can do rush against them. Now, all 3 touchdowns came from about the 1-yard line for Latavius Murray, but he looked good doing it. We've said, and I have said that there is no running game in Oakland. I don't trust any of these guys. I don't want any of these guys. Am I wrong now?
Yeah, Lat Murray. See, listen, it's not that the running game for the Raiders is poor. It's the fact that we can't identify one of these guys week to week.
Now we can.
But one thing that we can say is when they're in the red zone, Latavius Murray is going to get the football. They gave the football to him, I think, on one drive. They gave it to him 3 times from the 1-yard line. So I think Lat Murray is a guy that is in play each and every single week as a possible RB1. In a 12-team league going forward. The other two gentlemen, I don't think you can hang your hat on them. As far as Derek Carr's performance yesterday, I thought we would get a little bit more, but you know, Cooper still had a nice game, so I'm perfectly satisfied with this Oakland Raiders performance. I figured they would win this game. They looked pretty dominant doing so, and this team is for real.
Good job by Oakland there. DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard, both involved. DeAndre Washington had more carries. Jalen Richard looked good. Michael Crabtree had a disappointing day, 2 for 27. Going into the bye, Tony, if I can buy low on somebody right now, I'm in on Michael Crabtree.
Oh, I don't think anyone's going to give him away, do you?
Well, 2 for 27 this game, on a bye this week. So if you could afford to acquire somebody to buy, I think you got a shot.
Then you play with more progressive people than me. I wouldn't be, like, to me, he's still got 49 catches, 6 touchdowns. Denver's going to be a tough defense for people. Yep. And they went and they ran the ball 38 times in that game. There's no way that Jack Del Rio and Carr are going to ever run the ball 38 times in any game the rest of the way. So if you can sucker someone into that, but Greg, I'm not the type that's going to take advantage of people.
Hey, you're a nicer man than I am. I'm just being honest. When we come back, I do want to stick with Denver here. Here because Trevor Siemian's killing this team right now, and I'm interested to see what you guys think he'll do next week in New Orleans with Demaryius Thomas, with Emmanuel Sanders, and are we worried about Devontae Booker? We all thought he was his RB1 going forward, perhaps a top 5 guy. 2 games later, I don't know how we feel. We'll break it down next here on the Roto Experts.